All right. Welcome, everybody. It is Saturday, our first Saturday ever doing Mornings with Movers. But I'm excited. I hope that, a bunch of you can join us today. And hey, let's get going. Today we got an amazing guest. We have Ed Katz joining us. And as most of you know, I'm Dwight Mack with Max Movie Training. So what up, Ed? What's going on?
What's going on? You woke me up 2 hours earlier than I normally get up. Don't forget, I'm on Central Time. I'm
Oh,
normally still in bed right now.
okay. I thought you was for some reason I thought you was on the East Coast.
You thought what?
I thought you was on the East Coast.
I lost your audio.
Oh no, I was saying I thought you was on the East Coast.
Oh, yeah. I'm on the central, I'm in the center of Mississippi.
Oh, nice. How's the weather out there?
It's going to rain and probably during our podcast. So I don't know. If I float away, you'll know what happened.
Yeah, I was talking to Phil all this week, and who should be hopefully joining us soon. And let me turn around my phone. And basically, I was telling him it's like 46 degrees, 36 degrees. He's like, oh, it's freezing over there because he's a Floridian. So I'm like, oh yeah, well that's nice.
Should I let you know that your audio is fading in and out?
All right, let me adjust my mic. Can you hear me better now?
I guess I'll let you
All
know.
right, cool. So yeah, tell us about yourself, Ed.
They don't want to know about me. I was just 79 years old. I'm a crazy old man. I'm a risk taker.
Oh
I'm the
man.
self-proclaimed, self-ordained minister of office moving. Just ask me. I started a moving company in Atlanta, Georgia, in 1976 when your grandparents were born. And we specialized in local office moving, and I sold it in 2000. And we did approximately 50, 51,000 local office moves over the 24 years I had my moving company. I had no coach, no trainer, no teacher, no consultant, and I'm a graduate of that terrible, terrible school of hard knocks. I didn't know that I didn't know. I've made every mistake known to man you could possibly make in running a moving company. And there are so many times I was so close to having a nervous breakdown. And suicide was not an option because I knew if I jumped out of the window to kill myself, I was always in a single story warehouse type building. So the worst that would happen to me is I'd be flat on my back, staring at the ceiling in some hospital bed somewhere the rest of my life. So suicide was not an option. So I kept saying to myself, what can I do to prevent the same problem from becoming a crisis, not from becoming a problem again, but why not have the gun cocked, as we say in Mississippi? What can I do so that not if, but when the same problem happens again, it doesn't become a crisis? And I developed techniques and procedures that just about everything and anything that happened, we had a solution, an option that was better than a crisis. And I really mean that. I call that an infrastructure. And whether I was at the company or not, we all were in lockstep together and had procedures for everything.
Okay. So I guess how now that you've been doing the commercial moving training, which is phenomenal, and you've been doing it for, you said what, about 20, 30 years now?
100.
Hold on, I said that one more time.
Let's do the math. It's now 2024, let's say. 48 years I've been dabbling in and out of office moving. I had my own company for 24 years, sold it in 2000, and then I went on the road teaching thousands of students in person all over North America, Canada, the United States, and all over the United Kingdom, all over London, Leeds, Manchester,
Nice.
Birmingham, Reading, these are places in England.
Nice. Okay. So I guess why do you feel why did you go into commercial moving versus doing the residential? Tell us the story.
You're not going to want to hear this. I rolled out of bed one morning, hit my head on the floor, and I said, "Duh, I think I'm going to be a mover." What happened was I was on Wall Street for 4 years in New York City, really on Wall Street. I worked for a company called EF Hutton, and I counted every second until I could escape. And I went to the promised land, which was Atlanta, Georgia. And when I went to Atlanta, I got a job working for a real estate company. And we were leasing office space during one of the worst recessions that ever hit Atlanta. Big oversupply of office space. You couldn't give the space away. So I floundered. And 6 weeks after moving my family from Long Island, New York, to Atlanta, the company that moved me there closed their doors. So now I have nothing. Like, what am I going to do? So I started my own leasing company, and for a year I floundered. I did one or two deals. I was not making a living. In the meantime, my wife took my children back to New York, and she still lives in New York. And the children, well, they're older than you now. One, by the way, does live in Atlanta, just by coincidence. Anyhow, so for a year, I tried to lease office space, and I had all these leads of companies that were moving. And I said, I'm going to call moving companies in Atlanta and talk to some salespeople and tell them, hey, if I give you leads of companies that are moving and you end up moving them, how about giving me a small finder's fee, commission? So none of them cared about the leads I gave them. So did I tell you, this is what happens when you're a senior and you have senior moments. Did I say I had these leads and I gave them to moving companies? Did I? Were
I don't know if I heard the moving company part, but I know you was giving
Okay.
leads away.
So I was giving the leads to companies that were moving companies. And
Okay,
I,
gotcha.
okay, I'm that, I'm just testing you to see if you're here mentally and physically. You failed.
Yeah.
Anyhow, I gave the leads to some movers who were salespeople, and I said, hey, if you end up moving them, give me a little finder's fee. None of them called these prospects. None of them called anybody, and nobody did a deal with me. So a year later, after I depleted my savings, I said, what can I do for a living? I got to make money here. I got to survive. And I had all these real estate contacts, and I knew Atlanta because I was trying to lease space all over Atlanta. So I connected the dots, and I thought, boy, if I could take the leads that I have and generate revenue from that by being a local office mover, because I knew all the office buildings now and I knew the people that ran them, right? Because I tried to lease space for a year. Maybe I could make a living. So I started with one truck and two employees, and I was like the third. And I struggled and struggled, but when you fear is a great motivator. And I knew if I failed that I'd have a fate worse than death, and that was I'd have to work for somebody else, and I'm totally unmanageable. So it was a really great motivation to be successful. So here I am 48 years later, preaching and teaching office moving.
Okay, nice. So for those that haven't known Ed, when he was doing his commercial moving in Georgia or so like that, yeah, it was Georgia. I believe he never wanted his guys to run stairs, which was a very interesting concept. So you want to tell us about that funny story, Ed?
Well, before I started my moving company, I wrote a letter to about 80 moving companies in Atlanta saying, I think someday I want to start my own moving company. Can I have a job working for you as a mover? I'll work for free the first 2 weeks. One of them gave me a job, and he was a typical mover at the time. He did local residential, he did long distance residential, he did office moves, he did interstate, he did international, he did packing, crate, he did everything, specialized in everything. So next thing I know, I'm working for free. I'm out on a move where we're loading, I have no idea what I'm talking about, but loading 30,000 pounds onto a tractor trailer, right? The guy who's my boss is a guy wearing a ponytail, and he looks like he's from the Grateful Dead. You know, he looks like he's from Woodstock. You don't even know what I'm talking about, I know. But anyhow, I'm on the high end, going down a flight of steps, and he's on the low end. And we're carrying this 80-inch dresser from the bedroom upstairs down the steps. And I can't, that's heavy, and my hands hurt. And he yells to me, "Are you a he-man or a she-man?" I said, "I'm a she-man, and my hands hurt." Well, when we got back to the base, he told the owner, "Don't you ever send this guy out with me ever again on a step move. He can't, and all that." So anyhow, I realized how dangerous step moves were. And that's where you put your highest skill employees. And they're the ones that get hurt. So when I had my moving company, we didn't do step moves. We said, call residential mover. And I thought to myself, let them have the workers' comp claims. Let them sling the furniture up and down the steps and damage the furniture and damage the walls. I just didn't do it. We did one step move once for a Fortune 500 company that was very loyal to us. And they bought a company in the suburbs, in a suburban office building that was second floor steps. So I hired another moving company. I'm kidding. I hired another moving company that carried the furniture from the second floor down to the lobby. We picked it up from there and did the move. And they said to us, "You guys are a bunch of wusses." And we said, "Yeah, we are. You guys are like Arnold Schwarzenegger. You're like Atlas. Yay for you." And they're the ones that struggle getting it down the steps. Can you imagine working for us and losing your job at my moving company, Peachtree Movers, and then getting a job at another moving company? And you have to go out on a step move. You never went on a step move in your life.
No, it definitely is a transition.
I have my back. I'm sorry.
Now, did you keep those guys around for like both sides of the move if it was going from a second to a second and you guys just handled the floating of the stuff?
They moved like two truckloads of furniture down to the lobby. They clocked out. They charged us for a couple of hours, whatever it was, and then we took it from there.
Okay.
I
So
added,
you
I rolled their costs in with my bill for my company, for my client. They're happy.
Yeah, you definitely got to what did you call that? Outsource things
It's
that you
called
don't want
us.
to
That's called weak source.
All right, nice. So yeah, for those that don't know about Iommi, you want to tell us a little bit about like the company itself?
I had other moving companies in other cities who wanted to get into office moving contact me. I didn't have this idea. I was just a local yokel mover trying to make a living. And they say, "Hey, we understand that you're the guru, whatever that means, of office moving. Can we hang out with you?" And I said, "Yeah, it's going to cost you some money." And I charged them a nominal amount. And really, 1986, 87 is when I had my first student come. And I told you, Mario Reyes from, he wasn't in California at the time. I think he, I don't know, maybe Texas. I forget where he came from. He and his lovely, lovely wife. Do you hear that, Mario? Lovely wife. So sweet. Anyhow, they both came, these two young kids, and I taught them what I knew about local office moving. And the word spread, and I had more people contact me. And then I was working full time running my moving company. And at the same time, two or three times a year, teaching in-person seminars. So I finally built it up to where it was a 3-day, 28, 16, 24-hour, 3 8-hour day in-person seminar. And I've taught thousands and thousands of students, you know, all over North America and UK. My in-person seminar, and a guy named Bob Papuga, who you guys don't know who Bob Papuga is. Bob Papuga runs the commercial division of Suddeth Workplace Solutions out of Jacksonville. And he, poor guy, has attended every one of my in-person seminars for Suddeth, like around 25 of them, because I taught all their branches. And he used to say to me, Ed, you're teaching the key people in the branch your in-person training on how to estimate accurately, how to render the service without injury and without damage to what you're moving or damaging the buildings you're moving from and to, and how to finish the job on time for the price quoted, minimizing the risk of workers' comp claims. But here comes the but. You're not teaching and training the people that render this service, the movers. He said, we can't put 50, 100 guys in a room with you for 3 days. You'll put us out of business. You gotta figure out a way of somehow teaching all the employees, not just the key people. Because when you go back to your Atlanta at the time, there's no one here to teach all these movers. And I listened to him for several years. And finally, a light went on in my head. That's a great idea. So I spent 3 years of rewriting, reorganizing, and putting my in-person training seminar that was 3 days long online. And at different tracks or different courses for different job classifications, so that the mover helper, entry level mover, only takes like 2 hours of video training, and it's interactive. If you pay attention, there are softball questions at the end of a course or a module. All the answers are good answers. There's only one right answer, and if you pay attention, you get the right answer, you can go to the next module. If you choose the wrong one, you have to go back, take it over again. So I capture them mentally and physically. Anyhow, so I have different job tracks for different employees. For the supervisor, they take the same 2 hours that the mover helpers take, but they also take another 2 hours of how to place the crews. So you have a bucket brigade, human conveyor belt, passing it down the line, how to control the crew, how to place the crew in different positions, how to reprimand and supervise the job, and most importantly, how to control the customer. So that's that track. And that's like total 4 hours. And then we make the salespeople take all 14 hours of the training because we want them to feel the pain of what they cause when they overpromise. So when they take the modules that are for operations, for the movers, and for estimating and sales. Because I don't want them to overpromise and say, oh, no big deal, we can handle it. Yeah, they're not out there on the job handling the furniture, dealing with the customer. So we have
Exactly.
different tracks for different employees, and it's been really successful. They get it for an entire year, 24/7 on any desktop or mobile device, and it's been real successful. Now I'm trying to take it to another level, but I'm not going to share it with you because I told you before we started,
Keep it close to the vest.
I don't want to attract negative aura, so I'll just keep my cards close to our vests, but we're working on making it even better. So that's that.
Gotcha.
Who's this young
Well,
kid? Who's this young kid all about moving Tampa Bay? Phil Diamond. Hi, Phil.
what's up, guys?
Oh, I
Yeah,
like
we
your voice. He's gonna take
got
over.
bad weather here, man. I didn't have no internet, so I had to run to the office real quick. We literally had no internet at home. I'm like, oh boy.
Phil, you didn't miss a thing, Phil. Just heard a little
I
old man with a
was
slap.
listening on my way.
Oh yeah, so you did have the bad weather you was talking about.
Oh yeah, we're getting it now. A lot of rain and wind, but yeah, you know, they're expecting some tornadoes, which is crazy. At least they're not hurricanes, you
I
know.
th oh yeah, I thought it ended around this time.
It
Well,
did.
you know what? That is Florida for you. It stay hot all year round, but you'll definitely have that rain weather at times.
Yeah, man.
That's a great caricature of you, Phil. That cartoon, that looks just like you.
Yeah, my wife did that, man. We did a makeover on our logo. Someone else wanted my other logo more than I did.
It flatters you. It looks better than you, but
That was a younger, slimmer me.
yeah, was that like 5 to 10 years ago, huh?
Yeah, I feel like you need to show that picture where you had that sofa on your head by yourself.
Oh man. Boy, I tell you what are the challenges of the moving industry, I tell
Definitely,
you.
definitely. Ed, so when it came to, I guess, the big issue that people are still having nowadays, where guys are just randomly not showing up, what was your process on that?
Well, we fired more people because of poor attendance. It is what it is. I used to think we were really not a moving company. We were a personnel agency. And you just have to accept it is what it is. We accepted job applications 7 days a week. And then we tell them, all right. And they all wanted to do what? Could I want me to go to a job tomorrow? Can I work tomorrow? Right? You ever hear that before? Or just me. So we said, well, here's what we do. Today is Friday. Come back Tuesday morning. And that this is after they fill out an application. Come back Tuesday morning. We're going to have a 1 hour orientation. And these, let's say I had 20 guys fill out applications during a week. They all wanted to work right away, right? You got it?
Of course.
They came back Tuesday morning for the orientation. Phil? Dwight, how many came up? How many, if 20 wanted to work right away and filled out applications, how many came back for the orientation Tuesday morning?
Three to five.
Two to three.
Well,
Maybe one.
back in my day, I'd say about eight or nine would show up. So here's all these guys work right away, Mr. Katz. Do you have any work? So we said, you're not hired yet, but we're going to have an orientation. You come back. So that's like my first filter. You got it? Filter. So now they come back, nine of them come back. And we have an hour orientation. We give go over all the rules, how to call for the schedule. Don't come to work under the influence of whatever. If you didn't take it to the job, don't take it home. In other words, don't steal. We go over all the rules and regulations. And then we say, okay, we have one more program you have to go through. You're going to come back tomorrow, 1 o'clock, and we're going to teach you how to be a mover. We're going to take it, put you in the warehouse, and with furniture, the type of furniture we do on move on a job. And we're going to teach you how to dolly it up and push it and move it and all that. Out of the nine that came on Tuesday, how many come back on Wednesday?
Probably half of that.
Three or four. That's all. I mean, what you just wonder what happens? Where who are these people?
They don't want to
Anyhow,
be trained.
this day and age, it wouldn't been zero.
I don't know about that. But anyhow,
This age group now, boy, you
it's a
got
great
lucky. You got
filter.
21 to show
I'll
up.
tell you, it's a great filter because if you schedule all these 20 guys on a Saturday and two or three show up, you're in big doo-doo, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
So now I filtered out the ones that are wannabes, but not good employees, right? And then we teach them how to dolly up furniture, how to push it up a ramp, how to push it down a ramp. And it worked out really well. Then we had, once they were hired, obviously you put on the bigger jobs. We did train them before we sent them out. Nobody went out without training. Nobody. Because if a supervisor has to train, then he can't supervise. Either, go get me a four-wheel dolly, and the guy brings him a two-wheel hand truck. Go
Or
bring
a
me a,
screwdriver.
a screwdriver. Right. Thank you, Phil. Or go get me a high-rise dolly, and they bring you a four-wheel dolly. So we trained them before we sent them out. Then we had rules. We had Mr. Katz's rules. If you're more than 10 minutes late at dispatch time, you're going to be fined $10. And we didn't call it a fine. We called it a transportation charge because if we had to then chauffeur them out to the job, this is before Uber. It was, you're looking at the Uber. See the guy with the glasses, the old guy? We charged him $10. If we had to drive them out to the job. And if they didn't show up and didn't call and say they were coming or not coming, then they were put on probation. Because how do you run a job not knowing what am I going to do? Have a heart attack, a stroke every time we dispatch? Like, how many guys are going to show up? If I need 20, I'm going to schedule what, 50? You can't run a business that way.
No, you
But
definitely can't. And I think with anything, I think a lot of guys, when they have to go through training, I think that's the weaver out right there. Like, because a lot of guys, oh, I just want to go to work. I just want to make money. Well, you make money in training as well. And the fact that you don't want to go through training shows that you're not teachable or coachable. So what are you going to do when you're out there in the field and maybe a lead is telling you, hey, we need you to do this. And you're like, oh, I know how to do my job. It's not the type of problems we want out there.
And we never paid cash. We ran every payroll, everything went through the company. No cash. We're not in the cash business.
Yeah, I think one of the challenges a lot of people are going through right now. Well, they probably aren't, but like with the tips, when customers want to do credit card tips. And a lot of companies did well, hey, you know what? We'll put your tips in your paycheck. And you know, that for me, that's always been the worst, where it's like, well, I gotta wait almost a week to get all of my tips and stuff like that.
Yeah, taxes are taken out.
Yeah. And then just like, you know, they want their money now. Like, oh, we worked hard. We want our $50, our $100, maybe even our $20 that we got from this job.
We never had that problem. There's no tipping on an office move.
Oh, that is very true. You
But
know.
we paid our employees well. I'll tell you, back in the day, now you have to understand this is 1980, 1990 currency, not the inflated, worthless money we have today. We had money was worth something. We had supervisors that made 60, 70, 80,000 a year, and they earned every penny of it. Our supervisors always worked more than 40 hours a week, and they got time and a half when they worked more than 40 hours a week. And we never made any money on the supervisor. You can't run a job without a supervisor. We made our money. Here's how this worked. Let's see if you can follow me here. Our pay period went from 12:01 a.m. Thursday morning. You got that? 12:01 a.m. till Wednesday at midnight. That was our pay period, and we paid weekly. We only paid overtime to my employees after they worked more than 40 hours. So you following that? Then we booked the lion's share of our business, 6 p.m. to 11 p.m. Thursday evening, overtime rate. 6 p.m. to 11 p.m. Friday evening, overtime rate. 8 hours Saturday, overtime rate. 8 hours Sunday, overtime rate. Monday evening, 6 p.m. to 11 p.m., overtime rate. So entry-level movers average somewhere between 32 and 42 hours a week. If you don't give somebody who's full time at least 32 hours a week, you're going to lose them. I don't care how much money you're paying per hour. So we built out the lion's share of our revenue from Thursday through Monday, and we tried not to book any business whatsoever Tuesday and Wednesday because we'd be giving it back in overtime, right?
Gotcha. Makes sense.
So, and we monitored every day how many hours each employee had in a pay period. Again, we try to give, and on an office move, if you're not lifting, carrying, and stacking, and you're using our IOMI floating method of keeping the furniture on the dolly on the floor of the truck, you can work two shifts. You can go out 8 hours during the day and come back at 4 o'clock, 4:30, go back out again on another move in the evening, 6 p.m. to 11. You're not lifting, carrying, stacking. You're just pushing the furniture. And so if somebody needed more hours and it's now Monday, we might say to that person, hey, you want to work a double shift so you can get more hours. We always, let them know that they're going to be out all day and not surprise them when they got to work. Does that make sense? So that's how we ran the company. And we made money on the labor by billing out at the maximum rate and trying to keep the entry level movers at the regular side rate whenever possible.
Gotcha. No, I like that shift concept. Especially if you're able to run your operation all day. When we first started, we actually ran our hours at like 5 or 6 p.m. at night to like 10 p.m. And if we obviously if we had to stay out a little longer because we were on a move to like 11 p.m., then it'd be what it is. But it was one of those things where it's like a lot of people don't like to. Some people like to move at night, which is weird, especially if they're in the country. But you know, I think if you could do the shifts, it does definitely make sense where you got people that can show up in the day side shift, and then you got the people that can show up at the nighttime shift. Versus having people do doubles all day or whatever the case is.
We hired a lot of part-time people, a lot of part-time people that had full-time jobs working somewhere else. They get to our place of business 5:15, 5:30, work for us part-time for, 5 hours on an evening, Monday through Friday evening. on an on-call basis. We say, hey, we have a job Wednesday evening. You want to work or Thursday evening? You want to come in? Yeah. And they were great employees. You can hire firemen. We had, firemen, depending on the city and the county and all that, work like they're in that firehouse 3.5 days, then they're off 3.5 days. And that changes all the time. And we'd find out what their schedules were. They were great employees. They were drug tested. Believe me, they're not on drugs. They're crazy. They love physical work. These are the guys that like to climb into buildings and rescue people when there's a fire. So they're real physically fit, and they have no fear. They're great employees. So firemen and it just we if you estimate accurately as we did, we'd have our jobs that went during the day, during the week, like an internal move one side of the floor to the other, or from one single story building to another single story building, no elevator, so you don't have to have an elevator exclusively, right? We would estimate those so they finish in 6.5, 7 hours. So they get back to our base. The job ends around 4. They're back at our base around 4:30, quarter to 5. Then I can recycle the four-wheel dollies, recycle the truck, recycle the pads. And then if anybody needs extra hours in a pay period, we let them know before that day and say, hey, you're going to have two jobs Thursday. You could have two jobs Friday or Monday, whatever. And as long as they know, they're fine.
Yeah, and I think that's a like I was working with a client recently, and I think the scheduling is definitely crucial to making sure your guys are going to be there, giving them more than a heads up notice. So we used to do 48-hour notice, and 48 hours give you time to find replacement workers if somebody can't be there, and you're kind of reassured that hopefully this customer won't cancel on you, especially if they have a house closing. They're like, yeah, it's going to happen in 48 hours. All right, cool, Versus, you tell a person the next day, hey, yeah, 24 hours from now, hey, you're working. And, they'd be like, oh, well, I got things to do. I didn't know that I was working. So I think 48 hours was a good amount of time. Some people used to post a schedule a week in advance, but I'm like, a week in advance is a little too much because there's a lot that change, especially with people coming on the board, people leaving the board, and now this person was like, well, I thought I was on this 5-hour mansion job and it was going to give me a lot of money and now it's not there. Oh, man, it's just like with the CRMs, people can see the details, sometimes too much details about that job that determine, oh, well, I don't know if I want to work that job. It got too many stairs.
What are those?
Oh, yeah, I forgot,
So we had tough love with our customers when they signed our contract, which we called an order for service. And we pointed it out to them. You've got to give us at least 4 days advance notice if you change the schedule. Because before we knew any better, you missed this, Phil, but I'm a graduate of that terrible school, Hard Knocks. I didn't know what I was doing. I really didn't. So everything I'm making bad choices and bad, mistakes. Anyhow,
that was me.
got everybody and his uncle, anybody who can breathe is already scheduled Friday evening, Saturday, and Sunday. You're with me? It's a 21 truckload move. Five truckloads Friday night, eight truckloads Saturday, eight truckloads Sunday. Everybody's working. If you have friends, relatives, cousins, what just we need everybody working. So now it's 4:30 on Thursday, and this job is going to happen on Friday, right? Customer calls up and says, hey, the space, the carpet didn't come in, the space isn't ready. We can't move this weekend. We want to move next weekend. If I could reach through the phone and rip the jugular out of that client. I mean, it's like as an afterthought, they called us. Like we got 50 guys, fully trained, professional experienced movers sitting in the warehouse. You can just call us at your whim, right? Dumb. So that happened a couple of times till finally I woke up and I said, this is not working. This is terrible. And by the way, the following weekend, we were already booked solid. But I have this big black hole of no revenue, no business now this weekend, because I had everybody scheduled on this big job, right? So nothing this week, and now I got to somehow do it on top of everything else. So we said to our customers in writing, and we went over this with them when they signed our agreement, you have to give us at least 4 days advance notice, or we're going to charge you 4 hours at the maximum rate for not giving us 4 days advance notice. So that means you need to monitor the progress of your space. If your building management that you're moving into says that, well, your space should be ready, February 1st. You can't live off of the word should. You're going to have your phones have to be, your switch has to be moved over. Your copier has to be prepared and moved. We're reserving our precious resources for you, our labor, our employees, our trained professional experienced movers. We're going to turn down other business so we can do your job. If you don't give us at least 4 days advance notice if the schedule changes, you're going to be fined a lot of money. 21 guys and three trucks per hour is like $1,500 an hour when I had my moving company. It's probably $3,000 now, but whatever it is. So times 4 hours, that you're talking about some money here. I made them paranoid. They were out at the space where I said, if you go out to your building and they're not working, you need to find out why. It's because that contractor probably is building five other office spaces all over Atlanta at the same time. You need to let them know that that space better be ready when they promised it to you. Because they always used to blame, well, the city didn't come out and give us the CO, or they didn't come out and inspect the electrical. Bullshit. They didn't have it done in time, and that's why the city didn't come out. The cities, believe it or not, was not, they used them as a scapegoat, as a reason. And let me tell you, tough love works.
Definitely, definitely. All right, so going to some comments that we have. So Oscar said that pretty much, I guess, people who don't want to work nowadays, they just want to be YouTube stars. And pretty much the world will always need ditch diggers. And then Ryan said, "Hey, Ed, you looking good?" And Verna, what's going on, Verna? Basically just saying good morning. But yeah, so if anybody got any comments for us or Ed, definitely add in your questions and we'll go over that stuff. But yeah, Phil, are you, I guess, I know you've been doing a lot of junk removals. Well, how's the junk removal going down there for you?
That is, with the market doing what it's doing, man, nothing's doing without anything that you would like it to do. Things of it, here in Florida, generally, we don't have a really a slow season, man. This year has not been, definitely not the last few years. I've only been in business 8 years. And as I was telling you, Dwight, I had to kind of go back to the basics for myself. Being that I do have other adventures going on, I kind of put the moving company on the back burner, unfortunately. But I had to get back, in tune and get it back going, and had to really start feeling like my back was against the wall, like when I first began the business. When I didn't have anything else going on, I kind of had to go back to the basics of that. And marketing strategies have gotten a lot, different than years ago. I mean, I've came up with some really good solutions on just a generic, instead of sending, I'll just give you an example. Instead of sending cards to our existing customers for Christmas, I'm making a video today to send to customers that didn't book with us. I'm sending, and also to customers that booked with us, just to thank them for the opportunity to, for the for, to be able to provide a quote, and because at the end of the day, man, I started this business from nothing, and it's a blessing, man, to even have someone to even want to offer me my services that I have to offer. So I just want to thank, the people that did inquire, because maybe price, maybe they just couldn't afford it. We're not the cheapest in town, and sometimes a lot of your competitors, man, they just lie to the consumer, man. We don't do any we don't do a lot of commercial moving. Definitely going to try to get into more commercial moving next year, but residential moving is definitely a like Ed was saying there, man. clothing falling through. I mean, it's something you just can't control, you know. But I like that technique on putting the pressure back on the consumer of you need to check on your property. You need to check on your clothing. Don't tangle our schedule up, you know, fooling around, and then they call you tonight, 10 o'clock at night. And you know what, dude? Sometimes we allow customers to do that, man, and don't even penalize. And it's like, you know, I get it, you know, the weather is uncontrollably like today, man. Like all of our jobs today end up having to get canceled, man. I mean, it's windy. I'm definitely not sending out a truck, you know, high winds that it is over no bridge. Half of the bridges are closed anyway, but you know, sometimes they're out of your control, but you know.
See, that's why you need to be in New York. New York don't ever close down. It'd be
I know, snowing all, man. Snowing
negative
all,
seven
man.
degrees out here, and they still got the city open. You know, we recommend you
Man.
stay home, but you know, if you're gonna go out, be safe.
Yeah.
Bill.
You know, I wish the market was like it used to be back in the day. You know, I'm in my, you know, high 40s, man. And people just don't want to work no more, man. You know, I mean, I have guys that call, man, and they actually, hey, you guys hiring? Yeah, come on in for an interview. Not even show up. I got one guy that does it at least once a month. Somebody, hey, this guy keeps calling. Like, who is it? His name is Tony. And I'm like, okay. Yeah, he said he's looking for a job. I'm like, is that the same guy that called last month that didn't show
That was me, Phil. I keep going. Nobody will
up?
hire me. When they see me, they won't hire me. So let me give you some other ideas here. Now think about this. I want you to think in your mind as I'm talking. Is that possible?
Yes, sir.
You guys are Gen Zers. I don't know what's possible. But anyhow, on a residential move, the guys that carry the dresser from upstairs, second bedroom, down to the truck, are they both high skill and a lot of experience?
Yes.
Yes, of course they are. Now, on the Iommi Bucket Brigade, you ready for this? See if you can envision this in your mind. The guys that dolly up the furniture don't go anywhere. All they do all day is dolly up furniture. You got it? So those are guys with high skill. But then we have what we call a human chain, a human conveyor belt. Every 50 feet, we have a pusher. Now, in Atlanta, a pusher was something else.
Hey, I'm from Atlanta, man. Leave us alone,
Oh, there you go. See, you're probably high as a kite right now, right? But anyway,
man.
listen, I'm a former owner of a moving company. My name's Ed. I'm an alcoholic. Anyhow, we had every 50 feet. High skill or low skill? Think about it. High skill or low skill compared to the guys dolling up the furniture. They have to be trained, but they don't need any experience. You're going to push this desk that's on a dolly from here to there. That's all you do all day. You push the furniture from here to there. So those two guys, no skill. How about the guy running the elevator? High skill or not? The guy that pushes the buttons.
He better be low skill. You don't know how
He
to push a
better. He,
button?
yeah.
Okay, I snookered you. That's high skill. I'll tell you why. A lot of the furniture's top heavy on a four-wheel dolly. A vertical file cabinet's right side up. A desk with a large overhanging top. It's top heavy. When you go over the railroad tracks, which that's the threshold of the elevator. Things could fall. And that person, so you better have high skill, a lot of experience, and he controls the speed of the move. If you had a guy like Ed Katz in the elevator, the move will never happen because I'm going to talk all day. You gotta have somebody focus, get that furniture.
It sound like me,
And then watch
Ed.
this. Now watch this. From the elevator exit in the lobby out to the ramp or lift gate, low skill, bucket brigade, you push it down the line. The two guys on the ramp or lift gate, very high skill. The most dangerous spot of the job is the lift gate or the ramp. And the guy padding, positioning, and tying off, high skill. Out of those 10 employees, four can be no skill. So where do you think we got our no skill jobs when we were really booked on a weekend, especially we're sending out 50, 60 guys? 40% of our guys came from a halfway house. Oh, they were felons. Oh. They were great. They were wonderful employees. What they now, if they had committed murder or they committed armed robbery or they committed something violent, we didn't touch them with a 10-foot pole. But this halfway house, it was called Helping Hands. They were wonderful. They drug tested them randomly. They boarded them, they fed them, and they transported them. They were wonderful. They were great. These guys were arrested because they were drug dealers to feed their habit. And it could be anybody. And they were wonderful. They really appreciated the work. We trained them before we sent them out. We gave them an orientation. We went over all the rules, how to behave on the job, and they loved working for us. So unlike a household good move, and so then customers every once in a while would say to the movers who are making the sales presentation, "Are all your employees hourly laborers, or do you use any labor that from a temp agency?" My competition, Phil, just like you said, they lie. "Oh yeah, they're all experienced. They're all liars, liars." So we told the truth. We said we augment our labor force with people from an agency. However, we train them before they go out, and we put them in non-critical areas. See the difference for all the other. And I said, these other movers that are telling you, yeah, that they don't use they. Yeah, they don't go through an agency like we do. They pick them up off the street and put a uniform
Home
on them.
Depot.
Yeah, or the local gas station. And OJT, OJT, what does that stand for? OJT. On the job training.
Oh, yeah, on the
That's
job training, yeah.
when the mover learns how to do it at your expense, Mr. Customer. They got it. They got it. So in
Yeah.
terms of getting labor, if you look at the two different types of services, household goods, you have a great temptation of theft. You have a great temp you have a opportunity for theft. You have an opportunity for a lot more damage. I'll never forget when we first started, we had to do some residential moves. It's in the middle of August, probably 110 degrees outside. Humidity, you know, Phil, you know how humid it is in Atlanta, right?
No, of course.
Woman calls me up. "I need to speak to the owner of the company." Well, that would be me, ma'am. "Your men are sweating on my white satin sofa. What are you going to do about it?" "I don't know. What are you going to do about it? Because I don't know what I'm going to do about it. They're doing your job and they're sweating." I mean, I couldn't handle this. That's why I got the hell out of residential moving.
Oh, yeah, I mean,
I mean,
it's ridiculous.
they're emotional, they're irrational, they're crazy. That sofa goes, but that chair stays, and that chair that goes on that truck, and they're getting a divorce. Or somebody died. Who needs that baggage? And when you do an office move, it's already antique stress. It already has nicks, rubs, dents, chips, gouges. The people you're moving don't own the furniture. I mean, unless you destroy it, they don't care. As long as I can open and close my drawers. But on a hustle good move, you're dealing with irrational, emotional, crazy people. You bring the worst out of them. Look at you guys. Look at you.
You deal with the
That's
customers. You deal with the customers that give you guys faucet water and said, "Oh, I had to give you guys water. Are you going to take anything off the bill?"
I mean, I couldn't get out of residential moving fast enough. That's all I can tell you.
You know what's funny though, man, that is so true. I mean, I talked to a lot of different movie company owners, some in this area, and some of these guys call me sometimes like, "What would you do in this situation?" Nothing, because I wouldn't even answer the phone. Somebody else answers it.
When I worked for another mover for 6 months, from March until November 1st in 1976, when I started my company, and I worked as a mover helper. I'm on a residential move. I'm one of three guys. And the woman is standing at her front door. I swear to you, she's looking at me and looking at her watch, looking at me and looking at her watch, looking at me and look. She says, "Can't you walk any faster?" Because he's paying us, per hour, right? And she says, "And why are you carrying one chair at a time? You need to carry two chairs at a time. Come on, boys, hurry up." So I pick up two kitchen chairs, one on one side, one on the other, and I sling them against the walls on my way out. Because she said, "Carry two at a time." But like, this is before the days of WTF. But in my mind, that's what was going through my mind. And she's like, "Who can I mean, they want it fast, they want it cheap, they don't want to pay you. I mean, who, how do you,
And
how
then
could?"
now they got now Ed, the power of those reviews, man. The customer have they have the power over you. I can't tell you how many times I've heard a customer say, "We're gonna go leave you guys a bad review because the job took 30 minutes longer than you said it was."
And that's another benefit of office moving. No Yelp. No Yelp, no Katsu, no Angie's List. Commercial moves don't hit the social media.
Yeah, gotcha. All right, we got some couple of comments. Story says guys only want to work half days and want top pay. Ted mentioned, welcome, Ted. What's your best source for finding office moves? And I guess that's a question for you, Ed.
Yeah,
Well,
Ed.
oh, okay. I can tell you the best way is to develop good relationships, not with brokers.
no, brokers, okay.
Responsible for maintaining the building, the property management companies. And when I didn't know any better, I'd walk into the building manager's office and I say, "Hi, I'm Ed Katz. How are you? I'm with Peachtree Movers. We're a local office mover." Well, what I didn't know is building management people hate movers. Why would they hate movers? Does anybody here know why they hate movers? What do movers do? We don't aim before we fire in the men's room. We block cars in when we make deliveries during the day. We block other tenants' cars in. So who do you think they call when they're trying to leave and the truck's locking them in?
Or when they try to get home at rush hour traffic and they're behind the moving truck and they can't
Well,
see.
that's another building manager. Or they damage the walls, they damage the elevator, and then when the building manager calls the owner of the company, he says, "Yeah, we saw that damage too. It was already like that." They hate movers. So when I go in and I don't know any, and they really don't like salespeople. Have any of you ever met an operations manager? Yeah.
Yeah, I have.
Oh, wake up, guys.
Yeah.
So an operation manager is a serious, he's the complaint department, right? "Hey, how many hours this job gonna work? Hey, I'm not going out with him. He stinks. Hey, I don't want to." I mean, they're the complaint department. That's who building managers are. They get calls all the time from tenants to say, "The movers did this, they trashed this, they left Masonite residue behind on the floor. I have clients coming in today." So they hate salespeople. And they hate movers. And I'm going in, I don't know any better. And I go, "Hey, how you doing? I'm Ed Katz, in the mover." I learned that they are very serious. And I would say, we are going to act like we are a guest in your house. And we always want to be invited back. What can I do to make your life better? They can't believe it. They're pinching their skin like this, like a mover who's going to be accountable. And I never put my cell phone number on my business card, ever. Everybody else does. I didn't. I have my office number on the front of the card, and I turn my card over on the back and I say, "Look, here's my personal cell phone number. I normally don't give it out to anybody, but I want you to have it. If we're ever doing a move in your building and we don't behave in a professional manner, as much as it hurts me to hear from you, you need to call me and I'll fix it. I'll take care of it." They couldn't believe we were accountable. I learned over the years it was not uncommon that the building that the tenant was moving from and the building that they were moving to, both building management companies recommended Peachtree Movers, my moving company, because we really took care of the building. We really minimized the risk of damage. We didn't disrupt it. We didn't trash the bathrooms. We put down extensive building protection to minimize the risk of damage. And these people loved us. Who would you recommend? A mover that sends a bunch of drunks into the building and disrupts it and gets complaints coming to the building manager, or a company that acts really professional? So we won and they won. And that's the best way. That's how I single-handedly built Peachtree Movers in Atlanta. When all that growth, every time there'd be a new office building built, I'd knock on the door, but I didn't go, "Hey, hi, I'm Eddie the Mover." No more. And I never bought them lunch and I never gave them bribes and I never bought them tickets to the game. They have their own money. All they care about is the building and the tenant.
Gotcha. So for one source, just so we can answer Ted's question, would you say like the in-person networking?
I don't know what networking is. To me, a networking venue is where you go. Because the people that are there, or the people there, either need your service or they know people that need your service. So you could say that's my, I call this outreach. Outreach. You go in there and you try to court landlords to become your friends. You want to call it networking? Networking to me is you go to a group and you trade leads, which I'm 100% against. You know why?
Because they don't give you a referral source, or money.
No, if you go to a networking meeting and you're the only mover there, all these other people in that room belong to other networking groups where they have a mover from another company. So they take your leads and give them to that other group where there's another mover. So if you want to create more competition for yourself, you go to these networking meetings where you trade leads. And we didn't believe in that because I didn't want to give my leads to other movers. They would use my, that's where everybody gets leads. They belong to three or four or five different groups, then they trade leads. We did it the hard way. What do you call it? Block and tackle. What in football? I don't know anything about sports, but not a pass. But if you every time the tree go for the 10 yards, go for the 10 yards. Is that what is that called?
First down.
I know it's called a first down, but how do you
I
good, you know as much about it as I don't. But instead of doing it the simple, easy way, we went out and met these building management people. And really, we really walked the talk. We really did. We really took care of their buildings, and they loved having us in their buildings.
So Tommy said, Phil, I think if moving falls apart for you, you could always do voiceover. Troy says, yes, we have PU, some people from Oxford House, and they're basically clean sober guys. So like basically talking about the that house thing that you hire people from.
The half.
The halfway houses.
Yeah, we courted a lot of them. We found that, and by the way, they bought our uniforms and they kept them there and they laundered them. So when they sent an employee out in their van to us to work, they were in our piece of uniform. They were wonderful employees. And they
Yeah,
had us,
we.
they stayed there for like 6 months in the halfway house. They were in the big house before they were in the halfway house, but they were really good people. They were.
Yeah, we had a lot of people that were on parole, that, had minor offenses or so like that, worked for us. And we knew that they would, because we had a great culture, that they would want to stick around a lot longer because, one, they need a job. And two, hey, you got a great environment that they can flourish in. They'll definitely flourish in. The one downside to that we ran into is that sometimes they have ankle bracelets, and especially when it comes to summertime, and they're like, "Oh, wow, geez, I want to wear shorts, but I can't because I got the ankle bracelet on." So they wear long pants. And one time me and this guy was lifting something up the stairs, and I guess the dresser had clipped his ankle bracelet and popped it off. So he's like, "I
No.
gotta call my PO. I gotta call my PO. Like, I don't want them to come and arrest me." So that was a little awkward, definitely having to explain to the customer, and some customers actually, they're bitter. So they're like, "Oh, yeah, one of their guys had an ankle bracelet on. I would be careful, whatever the case is." And it's just like, did we not do a good job for you? Like, why did you feel the need to have to post a review about
Because people are stupid.
Exactly. Thank you, Ed.
See, at my age, Phil, the brain cells that go first in the front of the brain, and that's your brake mechanism. That makes you think before you speak. Mine are long gone. Maybe I puffed too much in high school or something. I don't know.
Well, you got gray hair, so everything you say, I believe it.
Oh, you are a big
Everything.
problem. Where in Atlanta do you live, Phil?
My father-in-law said, "Hey, wait, Phil, wait till you get gray hair. Everybody believes everything you say because they think you know
Nobody believes me,
it."
especially my wife. Where in Atlanta do you live?
Well, I was born and raised in a place called Cedartown, Georgia.
I know it.
That was about 2 hours north of Atlanta, a small town near Rome, Georgia. I'm sure you heard of Rome.
I lived in Cartersville.
Me too, man.
I loaned you $20 and you never paid me back.
You probably
I
did.
remember you. I knew you looked familiar.
But
Oh, man.
It's
All right,
my
guys.
world,
So we
man.
are at the top of the hour. Amazing stories today and discussion. So we'll definitely love to have you back, Ed. If you're free, to get up this type of morning, early in the morning.
Yeah, well, the nursing home says no more waking everybody up this early in the morning. You're going to have to do it an hour later or during the week. And they close the doors at 7 at night. So you have to figure that out.
Oh boy.
So, all right, everybody. So we'll definitely be on again next Saturday. If you have any questions or yeah, any questions for Ed, definitely reach out to him. Iomi Mover, a moving association, is definitely association you definitely want to get yourself affiliated with if you want to definitely diversify your service. I know Phil, you was mentioning getting into commercial moving next year, so definitely I would say speak to Ed. He could definitely probably get you so much long further along versus making the mistakes early on, mistakes of trying to go that direction.
Exactly.
But all right, everybody, so we'll see you next week. Ed, thank you again, and all right, y'all, take care.
Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye. Thank you.